financially better, but unemployed because we sold, and we started to look around at other industries that could go through that technology disruption. How can you not change what an organization does, but solve using technology and a changing culture and behavior in people? How do you solve a particular problem that consumers may have? And the thing that just kept coming to me was state agency had not had that disruption. State agency had been pulled into the modern world by outside organisations like Rightmove, but to your average consumer, a state agency was still very expensive, and the service and the experience that the customer got wasn't particularly great. So what's going wrong to not make it great, and why is it so expensive, and can we use this journey that we've been on, this technology journey and culture journey, to try and change that? So we started to pick away at a state agency, and we created an organization called House Revolution, which was the first online state agents. So we started to build that technology, and our approach, something I learned very early on, particularly in the time with Patrick, was about goal setting. And goal setting, within everybody sets goals. I want to lose weight, I want to get fitter, I want to learn how to play guitar, I want to get to the stage, but also in business, it's, you know, I want to get profitability up to this, or I want to get productivity down to so and so. But there's an element of goal setting, which is often termed as setting big, hairy, audacious goals, or BHAGs. Big, hairy, audacious goals sound amazing. And what they are goals that you set an organisation which at the point that you set them cannot be achieved. And the point of setting them is actually what you're going to do is change the organisation so they become achievable. And that's often around culture. And then how you re-engineer an organisation to basically position it into where you think it should be based upon where it was. So it's not about income, it's often very much around the purpose of an organisation or the unique aim of an organisation. Adidas set a goal in the 1960s, which was to kill Nike, and that was their goal. Everything they did was based around that single vision, which was to be better in every single way than Nike. And we thought about, well, what are the real big, hairy, audacious goals that we could set for estate agents? Because pricing is relatively straightforward. That's very much under your control. You can afford and behave the mechanics of a business in such a way that you can still be very successful as an organization and charge a lot less than your competitors. It's just that you've got to be brave and bold to make that statement and make that choice, whereas others would think, well, why would I? Why would I change my pricing model? So we could get the pricing model a bit, but the thing that we were really interested in with the state agency was around the experience. What's going wrong in the experience? And the trouble we found, a lot of it for the research that we did, was that customers had a real issue with trust. I'm being told something and I don't know whether it's true, or I'm being told something and I'm not sure whether I'm being told it because the agenda is right for me or it's right for the person telling me this. So it's not necessarily the case that it isn't true or that it's not the right agenda. It can't be proven because it's just words, it's just being said. So we set ourselves a hairy, audacious goal around being 100% truthful in every single aspect of the transaction in a state agency. And then how do we use culture and technology to make it to be that way, that everything that we say can be utterly and completely verified as being the truth, no matter how bad the news might be or whatever the challenge might be, that the consumer is being aware of absolutely everything that's happening in real time, and they can act and respond accordingly. And technology can help you do that. For example, if you make any phone call to any organisation these days, those calls are recorded. So record every phone call and then provide a platform, an online platform, because it's an online estate agent, that enables a person to listen to the calls that you've had with your buyer. So it's impossible for us to be anything other than truthful. And then when you're having a conversation with that customer, it's based upon actually what's been said and what's happening, and you can respond accordingly. So we set ourselves this goal of making an honest, truthful a state agency in a digital way with a lower pricing model. And that got a lot of interest. That did very well. And then somebody came along and acquired that, which was good. So I found myself unemployed again, which was nice, again, but you know, for different reasons. And then I'd sort of been working in the fringes of consultancy a little bit as well. And then somebody knocked on my door. It turned out to be the president of the Chambers of Commerce. And that was in 2016, saying, look, there is this 125-year-old organisation in Norwich that very well connected and very well regarded, but it hasn't modernised. It's had 20 years of doing the same thing. And what we really need to do is understand how we introduce technology, because we want it to live another 125 years. And if we don't do something fairly dramatic, then we're just going to become smaller and smaller and smaller, because we're just a sort of physical organisation. I had various conversations with members of the board. I had various conversations with businesses. I owned a business that had also been part of the Chambers of Commerce. So I understood what they were able to achieve, and I understood where they'd been successful and where they hadn't. And we started a big piece of transformational work back in 2016 to modernise the Chambers of Commerce, which is finding a balance between what it does as a physical organisation, and we're a big organisation across the region representing thousands of businesses, and infrastructures like governments and policies and LEPs and councils and schools and educators and funders. But what do we do physically, but also what can we do digitally? How can we modernise an organisation to take all of that connection, all of that knowledge, all that insight, and start to logically empower and enable the business community to be better at what they do and be knowledgeable about what's going on and be more interactive and more engaged. And that's really been the journey up until to this point, quite thankfully, a high degree of success in that program. We have transformed the organisation from the point of view of for the people listening. They wanted to get away from the grey-haired man image, and Marjorie, you can probably tell that I am a grey-haired man. So the irony is not lost that they employed a grey-haired man to modernise an organisation away from that image. But they wanted to move the organisation into a space which is more around the organisations that are more populated and more supportive of the young professionals rather than the older generation, which have perhaps joined the Chambers of Commerce when they're in their 20s and 30s and are now in their 40s, 50s, 60s. So it's not that the Chambers had an issue with people leaving. It has an issue with relevancy in pulling in the younger generation, who will be more tech savvy and more in that space. So how do we take the essence of an organisation which is rooted in being supportive and a connecting organisation and start to build ideas and interventions digitally that support that younger generation? And a lot of it comes back all the way to the start of my journey, which was a conversation I had with Patrick back in the late 90s, where he quoted Donald Rumsfeld's very famous, "It's not about what you know, it's what you do, it's what you know. It's not about what you know, it's what you don't know. But specifically, it's what you don't know that you don't know that tends to trip people up." And I see this time and time and time again in businesses, that it's the things that they didn't know that cause them problems, because they don't know them. And because they don't know them, it's very difficult to search for them. It's very difficult to find them because you don't know them. Where do you start? So the digital transformation of a Chamber of Commerce is using and accessing all of the knowledge and information it has in a way that makes the unknowns known. We can do it physically because people tell you the things they don't know, but digitally enables us to then say, actually, while I've got you digitally, here is something which is credible, bona fide, accurate, relevant, and unique to you that we think you should know. And by knowing it, will make you better at the business that you're in, irrespective of whether you're a blue chip or a startup or you're a manufacturer or you're a retailer. It has to be unique to that individual that's looking at it at that time. And it's kind of a model that's been perfected over the years in retail, funnily enough, particularly by the supermarkets, who are very adept now digitally at knowing what's in your cupboards and telling you the things that you need to buy in order to get your cupboard restocked. But not just about what you need to buy, but here are the recipes you can make with these things. Actually, if you add this ingredient, then you're learning new things that you can make in such a way that an algorithm is not repeating it over and over again. For example, our relationship with Tesco's digitally has been 20 years now, and they know my children are no longer in nappies, so we don't get offers on nappies. They age you and they transform you. They can see our diet changing, they can see our lifestyle changing, and their behaviours digitally match that. So everything that we interact with them digitally is relevant. They make the unknowns known to us in terms of things that we can now do. It's applying that to a business concept. And that's it. 30 years, boom.
I was talking to Chris Sargerson, Chief Executive of the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce.